Heyo Poppers, Brian here, and before I do the introduction to this week's thrilling finale of Five Nights at Goodman's, I would like to take the time to introduce this week's promo, The Monster's Playbook. So let's take a trip down the infinite hallway and check it out now.
The infinite hallway has been closed. It took a year for an unlikely trio to manage to seal dozens of holes in the fabric of reality. But I can see the threads of fate. I know there is more in store for them in this world, and in another. I see Kira Ashwood, the journalist who still bears the scars from her cult days, rising in great and terrible power. I see the supernatural social outcast, Mark Clayton, his abilities expanding and evolving, growing without limit, without explanation. I see the one they've yet to meet, a sorceress from between worlds, yet drawn to power and burdened by legacy. I see the extra-normal investigator, Casey Davis, but for the moment, I am one of the few who does. I can see what's next. I can see it all unfolding, each chosen path. How does it end? Even I don't know for sure. Join us on The Monster's Playbook.
The Monster's Playbook is an actual play Monster of the Week podcast with new episodes released every other Tuesday. Come check us out on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it, Poppers. We have reached the thrilling conclusion, the finale of Five Nights at Goodman's. With the new information gained, this gang of scrappy do-gooders know what they have to do to protect the child and take down the big bad. We have kept you on the edge of your seats for this one, and I won't keep you waiting anymore, so let's start the show.
Well, I think we've probably worked with Bud enough to know that this might be him doing this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Wiley, as he's driving, is just going to say, well, I guess there's our cue. I'm going to get us over there, and he's just going to drive and see what he sees. When I get there, is there still, like, the big crowd of these purple things?
Yeah, there's still three of them.
I think that I would like to kind of, I'm trying to figure out how to describe this. I want to do one of those things where, like, I turn and kind of brake as I'm going so that, like, I'm turning sideways into them and kind of, like, checking them with the side of the van as my way of stopping the van so we can get out, do what we need to do. I want to try and clear some of them out of the way.
Okay, that sounds like, that's a hard one. You know what? I would say kick some ass, but using sharp. For this, because you're trying to skillfully drive this car into them.
Okay, I will do that. Let's see here. That's a 7 on the die, plus 1, so that's an 8.
Alright, I think you guys try to do this, and you succeed for the most part as you slam into them, but you also hear kind of like an ee, and one of the tires is popped on the van.
Of course. Well, at least I got us here in one piece, for the most part. So I think that happens, and Wiley's just going to, like, park it and get out and start trying to see what he can do to help Bud.
All right. And Raj wants to try to get all the aggro on him. He wants to get all the attention from the purple guys onto him.
Okay. Right, that, what are you exactly doing to do that?
Okay, well, Raj lights up a questionable-looking up cigar with his flaming sword, and he just is going to shout out to Bud and go, "Aye, Bud, is it time for a little bit of that ultra-violence?" And he's just going to be like, "Aye, crowd of ugly purple dudes, you fought the rest, now come take on the best."
Okay, that sounds... Actually, you know what? I'm going to say that's going to be a manipulate someone.
Ooh.
To know you technically aren't supposed to be doing monsters, but see, you also know these are possessed.
Sorry, Bud. That's a 3.
Ooh, I was going to help, but I don't think I can help out with that.
There's no helping with that. But I am going to level up.
Yes.
And I, for the listeners at home, guys, I am picking a very fun ability for the divine. I am going with gain a lesser divine being as an ally sent from above.
Ooh.
Is it Alanis Morissette? No, she's greater divine. Who am I kidding?
She's a greater divine being.
No, we look, it's just Casey Affleck. No!
Okay, I think as you try to manipulate, you try to get them on you, and you get them on you, but they're a little too fast for you, Raj, as two of them grab onto your arms, and they're getting ready to pull as the other one body checks you.
I'm going to try to protect someone.
Now, will that get past my divine armor?
What does divine armor see on it?
It just covers for one armor.
Oh, they're getting ready to rend your rim, so...
Oh, no.
All right, that's a 7 for protect someone. All
right.
So, for 7 and 9, you protect them okay, but you'll suffer some or all of the harm they were going to get.
Oh, no.
Okay, so I think what happens is you see this bud, and you just kind of fly down, and you turn Incorporeal in front of the charging figure... And you just kind of get body checked back into one of the figures holding Raj, and they're knocked back. So one of the people gripping Raj has been knocked, his arms have been knocked free.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just the one guy who's got to grapple Raj to pull off the move.
Ooh.
Well, I would say take one harm, but you don't take harm. You take one less harm. So
yeah,
you just kind of knocked off balance into the other one.
Hold me close, a tiny dancer. Wait, it's Private Dancer. Damn it!
The song is Tiny Dancer.
Is it Tiny Dancer? Okay, I thought it was Private Dancer. All right.
I think Private Dancer is from...
Scrubs?
Maybe.
I think.
Yeah, Private Dancer was a character in Scrubs. Holy shit, that's a deep cut. The only reason I know that is because I do have an encyclopedic knowledge of Scrubs.
I love Scrubs too. Glad to hear it.
Hell yeah. Sorry, I've been having to do things. Last I checked, Alexander's in the van. Last I checked, Gabriel is also in the van. I want to have a chat with Gabriel.
Expect nothing less from Alexander.
Yeah, I kind of just lean back towards Gabriel and say, okay, so these purple creatures, they're not going to give up until they kill the next chosen, right?
Yeah, he says, I wish there's, well, sort of, as far as I can tell, they're a piece of whatever's trying to do this. I wish I could remember. He's like, starts rubbing his head. It's like, since I've been here, it's weird. It's like something's changing things. I know I need to give him the weapon, but it doesn't seem right. He's just a kid, right? I mean, why would he be the one to have the thing? It just makes him a bigger meal, doesn't it?
I don't know. I mean, kids can do fantastic things. If you give him the weapon, what happens to you?
I die. It's my fate. It's to give him my last. I've been hurt too much. If I give him the weapon, I fulfilled my destiny.
Well, then we need to make sure that he's ready, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, first things first, we need to take care of these creatures. So, let's solve one problem at a time, okay?
You know, I put that hand on your shoulder and it's like, thank you, Alexander. Good to have someone that at least thinking on this. I'm not a thinker. It's good to have someone who is a thinker on this.
Well, when you have the time, you tend to think a lot. Or you tend to try not to think a lot. And Alexander just looks out the van window at Raj.
Gabriel kind of does as well, and he gives a slow nod. I think you hear a thud of the van as Raj gets knocked into it.
Oh! It looks like they need a lot of help. Let's do it, okay?
He nods and gets out of the...
Yeah. I would like to manipulate someone.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Just like, making sure Gabriel's not going to do any, like, foolish hero shit. And, like, making sure he understands that, like, if this is going to work, then he needs to live for a bit longer.
Okay.
So let's see. That is a 9.
Okay. Out of a 9, they'll do what you tell them, but only if you do something right now to show that you mean it.
Yeah, I think that Alexander, like, Gabriel's, like, putting his hand on the door, and Alexander just kind of puts his hand on Gabriel's shoulder and says, all right, now, nothing too risky. We need to make sure that this kid is ready before you have to give him his weapon, okay? No hero shit. And Alexander pulls out his flaming trident and goes out the door first.
All right, yeah, I think he's surprised by that, but he just kind of nods and heads out on after you.
Yeah, I think Alexander just takes a swing at the first thing he sees. I'm going to try and kick something's ass.
All right.
Probably the thing that just threw Raj into the van.
Okay,
that is an 8.
All right, how much damage does it do?
3.
Okay, and is it magic?
Yes, 3 harm, hand, fire, magic.
All right, what happens is you kind of stab at it, and it howls, and it's not looking great. You see the purple initiative around it just kind of, it's shrinking a little bit. It's kind of lingering, but it's almost like it's struggling to stay in possession. And I think it kicks up into your chest hard to throw you back for 3 harm.
Ooh, okay.
Actually, that's something I wonder. Can NPCs protect someone?
They can give a bonus. Like, so think of it as, like, if, you know, whatever somebody's rolling, like, they're rolling action or pressure to get out of the way, and an NPC wants to protect someone, they just grant, like, +1 to your roll.
Okay.
I think that's how it works. I could be wrong. That's how I roll it.
Okay.
That's how I roll, as it were. Ha! Ha ha! Ha ha!
Ha ha!
But yeah, the one of these creatures is looking very, very, very hurt. The other two don't seem to be harmed yet. And Gabriel kind of moves over and heads and helps you up. And now you have +1 for your next move, Jason.
Okay, cool.
Can Raj try to kick some ass?
All right.
Raj wants to try to land a second blow on the one that's hurt. And he's a little embarrassed that everyone just saw him get his ass kicked.
All right. So that.
Oh, good. Tough. This is actually something Raj is good at.
All right.
You want to rethink that statement?
Nope. I'm sticking with it. Raj was good at it. He's forgotten the ways of combat over the many millennia.
Raj was once good at this.
Raj rolled a 4 and put +2 to tough. That's only a 6.
Can Alexander help out with this? All right. I think I want to flavor this as I'm seeing Raj obviously starting to, like, miss what's happening. And so I just kind of, like, use a little bit of illusions to make the creature think that Raj is swinging one way when he's swinging the other.
Okay.
And so let's see. Help out is a charm roll, right?
I think it's cool.
Cool?
Yep, it's cool.
All right, so yeah, that's an 11 either way because I had +1 forwards.
Nice.
All right. So you see this happen where it's coming at Raj, and Raj sees it, eyes kind of glaze over, and it swings into the blow. Raj, how much damage does your sword do?
Yeah. It does 3 harm, fire holy.
So it holy smokes.
Man, you're just on. You're on point today.
This is the holy diver. This. Oh no! Not to the holy diver. No.
You stab into this creature, and the possession fades away.
Oh no!
How are you going to do this?
Do it. Go full evil.
Go do it.
Do it.
You see a familiar teenager in front of you.
No. Oh.
It is Trent, the boy that had been with Troy, with your holy sword in his chest.
Raj immediately just makes his flaming sword dissipate, and he's just, oh no, I knew it.
Well, Andy's not going to be happy about that.
He holds a fist up angrily to the sky. He's just, you serious? Your bullshit games get us? Just tell the Chosen to do what he has to fucking do. Fuck you. He gently lays down Trent, takes off his suit coat jacket, and gently covers the child. And he's going to hold out his hand just to try to banish the other two, to cast out the evil to the other two.
Well, okay. And I will say he's not dead.
Oh, thank God.
You did put a sword in his chest, so he is dead.
Okay, never mind that, guys. Raj would be casting out evil, but this is actually something Raj would actually prefer to do. He's going to lay on hands to try to heal Trent.
Yeah, well, you do that. Alexander was very much freaking out for a second, but he realizes that you need some cover while you do this, and I'm going to try and do the thing that I am good at, which is making people think that we are not here.
This is actually good, because I actually have a zero in cool, so I was a little worried here, but I rolled a 10.
There you go.
Nice.
Hi. Oh, Jesus.
That will heal 2 harm.
Okay.
Well, that's great, because I failed on my trick of the eye, and they are very, very aware of everything I can do now, and I take -2 forward dealing with them.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, you see the creatures start to head towards Raj, and then, Alexander, you try your trickery, and then there's a... I think you feel a presence for a moment, and it distracts you, and you hear in the back of your head... Beast of the man, my children, this power will feel us. They all just kind of turn your attention to Alexander and start charging your way.
Cool.
So for a quick moment, I just realized that I've been sitting back and forgetting to explain what Wily's been doing. I've been just kind of paying attention and enjoying the story and forgetting to say what I'm doing. Yeah, so I think that the problem for Wily is that he kind of learned that his weapons don't really do anything. It's like he came out of the car when this all went down and has been seeing it happening, and he like pulls out his gun and remembers that it didn't really work the last time, pulls out his cane and thinks like, well, that's not going to do much good either. As he sees this all goes down, he's been kind of on the fringes of the fight trying to figure out what he can do to help. And now these things are going... Oh, go ahead.
Actually, you know what? Roll me a sharp, Andrew, because I think there's something you're going to notice. You can notice.
Okay. That is a 10.
All right. What are your questions?
So this is a read a bad situation?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Investigative mystery.
Mystery. Sorry, my bad. I thought I said that in the first spot.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to ask... Because I'm trying to figure out exactly what's going on, I think my first question is going to be, what is being concealed here? Like, what do I not know about the situation or these creatures or the thing controlling them? And then the second question I would ask is, what can hurt it? Like, how do we actually hurt these things, you know, other than just, like, hitting them a bunch and killing the people they're possessing? So...
I think if you're watching them, you're noticing every once in a while out of the corner of your eye, there's a woman in a purple hooded coat that's watching, and she just kind of blips in and out, for lack of a better word. She's there and sometimes she's not, but she seems to be watching, and she has the same yellow eyes as these creatures.
Okay.
And you get the sense that you were told earlier that there was probably some kind of overall force causing what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of get the sense, just watching them, that they seem more powerful. They seem to be of the same type. This may be this may be the thing you actually have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're doing that, and you're watching them, you notice something interesting. I think this is something that kind of clicks in your head. For these creatures, magic hurts them. And it seems like when you notice like the one that got crashed into seemed to get hurt from the other one. And you get the sense that whatever's going on with these, it either has to be magic or for some strange reason, just hitting them without a weapon, but hitting it might work.
Okay, so like if it's like your own body, maybe like if it's
you get kind of like a weird sense that they're only they seem most vulnerable to either magic or unarmed strikes.
Okay,
or basically some kind of unarmed combat. There's some kind of weird thing about what they are that makes them immune to mundane weapons.
Right, because like crashing into something still hurt them. Okay, interesting. I think that, let's see here. So Wily, like I said, has been trying to figure out how he can help watching the fight go down. He sees this figure that seems to be controlling it, and he sees, you know, how we can stop these things. I think he's just going to call out to the group. He's just going to say, guys, she's over there. I think she's controlling these things. And he's going to start running over there to try and, A, get her attention, and B, maybe even try and take a swing at her.
All right.
So do you want me to actually roll an attack against her, or am I not quite there yet? I don't know how far away I was.
I would say roll an act under pressure, because you have to get past the fight they're in right now to get to her.
Okay, yeah, they're in between me and... Okay, gotcha.
Also roll me a luck roll quickly, Andrew.
Which one would you like first?
Roll the luck roll.
Okay. And we started with the normal 7 luck, right?
Yeah.
So I'd be adding a +3. Okay. So that is an 11 then.
All right. As you do this, Gabriel hears this and looks. I think he sees you trying to get across, and he looks to Alexander and says, "Okay, I know you said no hero shit, but we don't want more of that. We don't want more of that, right?" And he points to the kid.
Yeah, yeah, no, hero shit might be necessary here.
Okay, and so he's gonna follow you, and you have +1 on the act under pressure, because you just see Gabriel kind of like dart off, and he's trying to draw attention and give you some room to get it past.
Nice, okay, cool. Then, here I go. That is a 10, exactly, because of the +1.
There we go.
Nice.
I kind of picture it like Rocket Raccoon, where you kind of hop onto his shoulder, and you're both working together, just push past people.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, like he starts like kind of clearing away for me through the fight, so I can get to the other side and move on to what I'm actually trying to do.
So,
and then once I'm over there, if it's still my turn, I would actually try to like basically just punch this figure.
Okay. Yeah. And it's also one ongoing because Gabriel.
Quick question: Did my kind of what I was seeing about how like the unarmed combat was effective on the creatures? I would only know that about them, right? We don't really know anything about this figure itself and what's going to hurt it, right?
Yeah, you guys don't know. About this figure, but it is glowing in the same way. But it seems to be more a solid shape inside, if that makes sense. Like you can tell the others.
Yeah, I think I'm still gonna go for the unarmed strike just to be safe, even though I'm not actually sure if it matters or not.
All right.
So this is probably where it all goes south, just because I got a 0 tough. Oh well, okay. I still rolled a 9, so 9 total.
And then you also have the one ongoing, because you have Gabriel with you.
Oh, that's an ongoing. Okay, so that's a 10 then.
Yeah, because you guys are tag teaming.
We're tag teaming. Okay, sweet. Well, that's a 10 then.
All right.
I've been rolling rocks both episodes. Like I haven't had a 6 yet, 6 or below.
So what is your one effect? Or +1 or?
Oh right, yeah. So my one effect is that I'm gonna gain the advantage. I think that maybe I caught this figure off guard. Hopefully. So I would like to say that me specifically would have advantage as I continue to fight this person, just because I've kind of dragged her attention and hopefully caught her off guard.
Okay, yeah, I think what happens is you and Gabriel are heading towards this figure, and Gabriel speaks over, he goes, "It's gonna want me, Annie." You guys are heading towards a tree that you see a duck behind. Was like, "I'll go right, you go left."
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of see him charge around the right, and it just kind of figure kind of comes around and grabs him, and you kind of hop to the right, and you swing your cane out, and you kind of like swing around and mule kick into the back of their head.
Nice. Yeah, I like that.
And then it stumbles forward as it takes 1 harm.
Nice.
It doesn't look that hurt though yet.
No. Yeah, it's not. I'm not very big.
And everyone, can you roll me a sharp quickly?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a 10 over here.
That's a 9 over here.
Raz, roll the 10.
That is a 10 because of my +1 forward.
Damn, dude.
Did I miss someone?
Squad.
Okay, there's 10, 10, 9, 10, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The person with that 9, you see a flicker, and there's a familiar face behind the hood as the hood gets knocked off, as he gets knocked forward, and you just can't quite picture it because you're in the distance. Everyone else, you recognize the figure flicker for a moment, and it's Mrs. Goodman.
Oh, the lady that was running the place?
Manager that was, like, pissed at us for mentioning the whole fact that somebody was attacked? Yeah, that called it. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
That does make sense.
I knew it.
Raj is looking up from Trent, and he's got glowing tear streams going down his face because he's beyond pissed now. And he just points at her and just goes, "You!"
Funny part is, if you see you, the figure kind of just cackles and looks back in your direction. "Yes, it is me, Raj." And Raj, her voice changes for a moment in that. There's a very familiar voice that you just cannot place behind that. And for a brief moment, you see something so much larger in her place.
No.
The all-consuming worm.
Oh, no.
The feaster of power of stories. The devourer of fictional heroism. No. And yeah, it does know your voice because you've fought it before in several forms. But nothing as powerful as this.
How? How? This isn't right. Raj actually kind of, he inadvertently changes back into his normal cherub form, and he's kind of cowering. He kind of looks like Scooby-Doo would do when he's really scared. He's just, "This isn't good. Guys, this is really, really bad."
And then suddenly it is young Mrs. Goodman again. Or this is something that Raj specifically sees as a divine.
Gotcha.
Raj's just going to be muttering, "Why are you here? And how are you this strong?"
She just smiles at you and grabs onto Gabriel, and energy starts to flow into her.
Can I roll protect someone?
Yeah.
All right, that's tough. That is 9 on the die.
Okay, you can rush in. Yeah, I feel like her hard choice is, because she's feeding on power, you can run into her, but you're going to go take a -1 forward because she's going to drain a little bit of what you are.
Yeah, it's worth it. We don't leave friends behind.
All right, so you guys see Bud fly into the arm and just tackle them, or tackle it out of the way, and you see his energy kind of flow away from Bud for a moment, and he starts to fade a little bit, but he's still recovering. And Gabriel falls, and he's weakened. He's kind of clutching his chest. He looks like he's actually feeling the pain of his wounds. And his whip lies on the ground. And Wily?
Yeah.
It's sitting in front of you.
The whip is?
Yep. It's been knocked out of Gabriel's hand.
Interesting. I have no idea what's going to happen if I pick this thing up and try and wield it. But I know that it's a lot more powerful than what I have, so I think he would try to... Ooh, actually, I had another idea. Okay. I want to see if you would let me do something.
Okay.
Would you let me make an attack with it?
Yeah.
That ends up with me putting it into his hand somehow. Like, basically, like, swing out with it so that it hits the creature, but also get the whip into Gabriel's hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, maybe, like, I kind of, like, lash out with it and then kind of hand it off to him after it kind of wraps itself around part of the creature.
Yeah, I would say if you get a 10+, I would count that as give one forward to another hunter.
Oh, okay. I like that idea. Okay, so let's see. Let's try this again. I want this to happen. This is a kick some ass, right?
Yes.
Okay. Ooh, okay. That's a 4. But I really like the idea, so I'm going to burn up my first luck point to do that.
Okay, I think you dive and you take the whip up, and it's weird. There's for a moment, you feel yourself kind of flow into it, and you guys see the whip become a cartoon whip covered in jagged thorns, and you whip across the face of this creature, this person, and it knocks them back. It just tears at them as they take 3 harm. And then you pass it on to Gabriel, which it turns back to normal. And you see the other creatures start to waver for a minute. They're starting to struggle a little bit. Like, you've taken the concentration of whatever's causing these possessions for a moment.
Gotcha. So they're not quite as, I don't think solid's the right word, but yeah, they're starting to be affected by the fact that we're attacking the thing that's controlling them.
Yeah, you guys kind of get the impression that it kind of wavers itself, and there's nothing, you can see nothing underneath
what's forming it. This is a pure monster. This isn't a possession of someone, whatever it is.
All right.
All right. Yeah, I think Alexander will kind of see all of this going on and has been trying to, like, rack his brain of, like, how anything he can do can help, and, like, helping Raj or anything like that. And he's just going to throw his flaming trident at this creature.
Oh, yeah. For the racking your brain, can I ask you to investigate a mystery, Jason?
Sure.
So I think with everything you're seeing here, you might be able to piece something together.
That is 9 on the dice.
All right. What is your question?
What's being concealed here?
Okay, I think as this wavering happens, you kind of notice flashes of these other things, and you start to realize that whatever's going on here, like everything being connected, you get the sense that the creature you're fighting is an aspect of something greater, but it's acting on some kind of lore. It's devoured another fiction, another lore, and it's using that to empower these strange things. And I think you kind of piece together whatever's going on. That's the mother that your friends are facing, and these are his, because you kind of piece together from what you heard in the back of your head, deal with him and children. It's some kind of lore with a mother and its child that is just a raging crazy thing that starts with the grr, because you've heard it go by grr a few times.
I Jason do not know what to do with that information.
I'm thinking about it. You're thinking about this is really great. And actually, you know what? I think this counts as what is being concealed here. You realize something to your shock.
Who?
You're fighting Grendels.
Yeah.
And that's the mother right there.
Okay.
It's Angelina Jolie.
Oh, God.
So definitely, I think you get with this, you're right on the money for throwing the spear at it, because you've figured out, like, these things are possession. It's putting its son into other people, so it must be the focal point, because you've been hearing multiple people mention they're probably a focal point or something like that, and it just kind of hits you that's just, if you take that out, everyone else, you can save everyone else.
Okay, yeah, then I definitely throw that spear. Let's see, that would be a kick some ass. That is a 9.
All right. I think as you manage to throw the spear, and how much does the spear do?
3.
Okay. It is, you throw the spear as one of the other Grendels grabs onto you. It's kind of like the cinematic movie where you throw the spear just in time before you get grabbed.
Yeah.
And you take 1 harm as it grapples you. And it's looking pretty hurt. The creature just kind of stumbles back, and it's got this spear in its chest, and it's stumbling back and wavering and trying to pull the trident out. What do you guys do?
Rash, seeing Alexander throw his trident, he feels renewed courage. He gets out of his stupor, and he's just going to bump right behind her and take a swing with his flaming sword.
All right.
And okay, it's actually not that bad. I rolled an 8.
All right, and it does 3 damage?
Yes.
How do you want to do this?
Ooh.
So, okay. As Raj is getting ready, he takes an EI pose with his Zippo lighter. And he holds his head down, and as he just poofs out of existence and poofs right behind her, he turns around and goes, I hope this brings you back to one of our battles in the past. And he quickly draws the Zippo, and it turns into a flaming sword, and he cuts her at the neck.
Awesome.
Nice.
All right. Yeah, you see this blow happen as he cuts into the neck, and just the head comes off, and there's just this spew of energy as she falls to her knees and starts rapidly shape-shifting as the energy seems to fade from her other victims, as you see Brian, the other teenager, and then one of the other teenagers from the other arcade machine fall to their knees unconscious. And for a moment, it shape-shifts into this giant, scary-ass worm in front of you all before fading away. Or at least you think it's either a worm or it's a part of a tentacle.
I think Wiley's just staring at it wide-eyed, because I don't think he's seen anything like that before in his excursions with the group's called the Library, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think with all of his work he's done with them, I don't think he's seen something like this quite yet. So he's just kind of staring in shock at it because he was like right up there with Gabriel and yeah.
Raj looks at Wily and goes, "Prepare yourself. That's your destiny, to fight and defeat terror."
I think Bud leans over and says, "Now when you drink tequila, you got to eat that too. You know that, right?"
I think that gets a legitimate laugh from Wily. And he just says,
Why are you laughing?
Well, I would hope it would be that easy. But that didn't look like something that would be edible.
It's edible, trust me. I've done it plenty of time.
Congratulations, you've solved my Grendel puzzle.
Yeah, Alex just collapses on the ground. he's almost dead.
Is Troy around?
Be a sharp.
Okay. That is Boxcars, so 12.
Troy is just staring at all of this from his window in his room at the house across the street, at the house you were at earlier, wide-eyed.
All right, I think Bud's going to run over and walk through the wall to him and just appear in front of him and be like, "All right, the time has come. You need to know your destiny. You are..."
Troy just backs into his bed and falls and goes, what do you mean? What do you mean?
"You are the chosen one, and it is your destiny to drink tequila and eat worms."
I think Troy just goes, "Wait, don't you want my father for that? If he does that already..."
"No. Wait, what? Oh, well, see, it runs in your family. It is destiny. It's a hereditary destiny.
To be an alcoholic?"
"Yes. You can't escape. Trust me, this is some deep heart-to-heart stuff. Well, heart-to-no-heart stuff. You don't escape the cycle. You just kind of, dad just goes off for cigarettes one day, and then, you know, mom's always sad, and..."
"All right.
You do the best you can, and yeah, let's just cut away."
Right it in.
Cut to like 5 minutes later, and he's like crying, and he's like, "I just wanted to be a boxcar racer."
Troy's sitting there confused. Alex is on the ground outside, somehow mad at Bud.
Meanwhile, the Troy back in the library just rubs his head and gets the urge to punch Bud for some reason.
It's stronger to drink tequila.
"What have you done to me?"
He looks at his bottle of tequila and just has the urge to throw it away. I may be a father now.
He doesn't know that.
That's a reference to the Keeper's Retreat. Stay away from pawn shops.
Yes. I know you guys enjoyed it. It went a lot of... you guys bypassed a lot of stuff in it.
Oh, are we done? Is that the that's the post roll that we're going on?
Oh yeah. We do post roll. Like, you guys, you know, this is an interesting question, Raj. Do you inform the others about the what the fuck the giant worm is?
Actually, yeah, because Raj actually was planning to take Wily with him and say it's time for you to begin training for the battle.
And then Wily's just going to be like, "What battle?" And I'm sure you'll, you know,
explain everything about
it and fill him in on exactly what's going on. And he's just like, it's not what I signed up for, but it sounds like it's what I'm needed for. So, yeah.
And he gladly explains to Bud and Alexander, and he's just going to emphasize that you two don't need to follow with me, but this could be one hell of a show to witness.
Well, you know me, I always like a good show. Also, I just realized something, and you hear the sound of a shotgun cocking. I've had this the entire time, and I forgot to use it.
Raj just looks and goes, "I would expect nothing less. Would Alexander join us in this journey?"
"I'm sorry, Yule Brynner. I let you down."
Alexander just has his arm in a sling. He's just like, "Oh, I guess I don't have anything better to do. I want the shotgun, though. Doesn't seem like you need it."
Okay. Here. and he hands you the shotgun, and it just goes through your hands because it's a ghost shotgun.
Ghost shotgun.
So, yeah, that's Raj's plan, is to start preparing everyone to battle the worm.
Let's put it this way. When I originally did the mystery, it had there was a mundane in the party, and the role of the mundane kind of went to Wily in this. Because I realized you guys said that Wily was being protected because he was chosen for someone.
Right, yeah, well, we were doing our relationships, yeah.
Yep.
And when I did the original mystery, the mundane was having flashbacks like It, Chapter 2, and was remembering a false childhood that he was he had previously been a chosen, and he was able to do more damage to the creature. It was kind of like a narrative thing. Like, it was a chosen that isn't chosen was like the puzzle. Like, they can hit hard.
Yeah, yeah. That I picked up on. It made sense. You know, I kind of had that feeling of I grabbed the weapon and, like, I was, you know, using it. So.
You mean Bud's not the chosen one?
Bud is chosen for something. We just don't know what.
Alien Mascar, obviously.
Yeah. Our goofy mascot.
If you guys hadn't had so much chaos in the pizzeria, it was actually gonna be Jack as the first one to. And I was like, yeah, I figured like he's sitting right there in front of you. I couldn't do that, so I was like, oh, okay. I had one of your coworkers was gonna be possessed.
Yeah, and because, like you said, things just got really chaotic in there, it kind of moved to the hotel after we got away, you know? Like, it was still coming for us kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm just glad we didn't keep killing people. I'm just glad we didn't kill lots of people that were possessed.
Actually, surprisingly, I don't think we killed anyone, did we?
I healed Trent.
You didn't... Yeah, you guys didn't kill anyone, but you did stab Trent. There's a boy with a weird scar.
He's fine. He'll live. Now he's got a cool scar.
He's like, hey, I was stabbed by an angel, okay? I'm the coolest teenager ever.
You didn't lose angel powers for a short amount of time because of that, right? Like, you stabbed technically an innocent.
I did. But thankfully, he didn't die, and I made up for it by killing Grindel's mother.
So it's kind of an all's well that ends well sort of deal. Since he didn't die, you're good.
Absolutely.
Wow, Poppers. That is all I can say, is just wow. The gang really came together to show Grindel's mother what for. I can't wait to see what the future has for this team. If you enjoyed this episode, remember to leave us a review. It really helps us in the long run. And remember to check out all of our other content as well. You can follow us at Twitter at Dungeons & Pop. And if you would like to talk with the cast, you can find us on the Cast Junkie Discord server. Thank you so much, Poppers. Until the next episode.